This is Stephanie Rubel from the Stanford Alumni Association. I'd like to welcome our listeners to our final book of the 2015-2016 Book Salon season, Memoirs of Hadrian by Marguerite Yourcenar. Today I'm sitting down with Blair Hawksby, an associate professor of English who selected this book for our community. Thanks so much for sitting down with me today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So Blair writes on the literature and culture of Renaissance and Enlightenment Europe. Most recently, he has published What Was Tragedy? Theory in the Early Modern Canon. He also has an abiding interest in the poetry and prose of John Milton. His edited collection of essays on Milton's place in Restoration in early 18th century England, entitled Milton in the Long Restoration, will be available soon. When he is not reading early modern texts, he likes to study Roman history, military history, art history, and garden design, and to read modernist novels by the likes of Henry James, Ernest Hemingway, D.H. Lawrence, and James Joyce. So, Blair, when did you find yourself interested in this era?
Well, because I study the Renaissance, I think it's natural to also be interested in the ancient world because the Renaissance means literally a rebirth, and that's the way people in that period around 1400, 1500 really thought about what was happening, that they were rediscovering the kind of the glory of the ancients in terms of art, in terms of literature, in terms of the arts of political rule, and so forth. And so it's natural to go back and also be then interested in ancient Greece and ancient Rome. But I think the period of Roman history in which Hadrian was a ruler is of special interest to us today because many of the problems he faced seem so familiar to us, so similar in the sense that Rome by that time had become a very cosmopolitan, multicultural, multi-religious ensemble of different peoples. And so I think a lot of the problems that emperors like Hadrian faced are quite similar to the problems that we face today in an increasingly globalized society.
Perfect. And so is that what prompted you to select Memoirs of Hadrian?
Yes, I chose Memoirs of Hadrian for three reasons. The first was that, as you mentioned, I like to read modern novels, but I feel that Marguerite Yourcenar is not as well known among American readers as people like Hemingway or D.H. Lawrence or James Joyce, but I think this book really is a masterpiece on the order of a novel like Ulysses, and therefore people should read it, and it's just, there's nothing like it in world literature. But I also had two other reasons. One was specific to Stanford, and that's that I think here in Silicon Valley, we can be so tend to lionize innovation and revolution and be happy to throw out history and to think that's always a good thing. And I'm not sure it always is a good thing. And I think there's a great deal that we can learn from history, and that, in fact, a lot of the most generative and innovative times in history, like the Renaissance, have involved a going backwards as well as a thinking forwards. And here we have a case of a French woman in the mid-20th century, having gone through World War II and lots of other very traumatic events, thinking about capitalism and so forth, but going back to an emperor who's ruling in the first century AD, and understanding him so sympathetically that classicists continue to really be interested in this book and admire it, but be using him to think through the problems of her own day. And so I think it's a really great model of the utility of going back to history, even for us here in Silicon Valley. And the final thing is, I think a few of the specific themes of this book, such as homosexual erotic love and turmoil in the Middle East, are, you know, very much in the news today and on people's minds. And so it's a timely book as well as a timeless one.
So that segues us into my next question is, what issues do you think our readers might find interesting to discuss?
I think there are several issues that readers would find interesting. One is that the book is actually addressed to Marcus Aurelius, who Hadrian actually created a kind of two-generation succession plan for himself. So he asked an elder statesman, Antoninus Pius, to adopt two young men, one of whom was Marcus Aurelius, because he wanted a kind of smooth long-term succession plan for the Roman Empire. Marcus Aurelius is a famous Stoic philosopher who very much emphasized the importance of reason, the importance of human freedom, and a kind of denigration of the body. He would sleep on the floor and so forth rather than give in to luxuries or eroticism. Hadrian in this book, tries to formulate a sort of alternative philosophy of life, one in which the body is, or the mind is a part of the body, or a friend of the body is a friend of the soul. And so in modern terms, we might say that it thinks about embodied cognition, and I think that's something that lots of people are interested in these days, psychologists and physiologists. So that's one theme. He also tries to formulate an alternative view of human freedom, alternative from Marcus Aurelius. And that view sees a more flexible relationship between your will and circumstances. And the comparison he uses is to being like a rider on a horse, and that once you're on this powerful beast, you have to give way to the power of the beast. But that doesn't prevent you from moving supplely, and it doesn't prevent you from trying to train the beast as well as you can and discipline it. So I think there's a really interesting model of how to think about freedom and necessity. A third theme that I think people will be interested in is his love relationship with Antinous, who's remembered through history as the sort of the type of ideal male beauty from the ancient world. And Antinous is a young Bithynian boy who dies under mysterious circumstances at the age of 21. And I won't give away what those circumstances are, and the novel doesn't necessarily answer it simply, but I think people will be very interested to try to figure out what happened and to evaluate their relationship. Two other points. One is that Hadrian in the book is very interested in thinking about Rome in abstract terms, not just brick and mortar. So he is a great builder who builds cities all over the world, but he also on his coins printed the words liberty, humanity, and justice. And he writes about this as a kind of abstract ideal of Rome that will often be lost through history, but that there will be sometimes be rediscovered. There will be moments in history when there are continuators who once again try to realize those ideals of liberty, humanity, and justice. And so I think readers may find it interesting to think about how they could be those continuators today in this moment. And then the final thing I'd say that people are likely to be interested in is the whole problem of how to rule an empire that has very different peoples and religions in it. And Hadrian attempts to do so in a cosmopolitan way. It seems as if he succeeds in much of the empire and for a long time. But then there is a violent revolt in Palestine, and the Romans put it down in a very bloody fashion. And I think the book has a sort of unflinching examination of the problems of rule, and it doesn't give us any simple answers, but it does invite us to really look at the facts squarely in the face.
Wow, there's so much to discuss in that book, and I know we're going to have a great time talking about it.
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay, then can you talk to us about your favorite part of the book and why you like it?
Yes. My favorite part of the book is the first chapter, and it takes its title from an epitaph that Hadrian wrote for his own tomb. Hadrian's mausoleum still remains in some part in Rome. It's the Castel Sant'Angelo. That was originally designed for him. And there he engraved in brass a poem, which has always been considered very suggestive of a man to people who have read it. And the poem says, "Little soul, gentle and drifting, guest and companion of my body, where you are going is pallid, dark, and stark. There you will give over your play of yore." And so the chapter takes its title from the first line of that poem, and it's addressed to Mark Antony, and it's a tremendously reflective and philosophical chapter. So it really tries to think about everything that's important to Hadrian as he's essentially lying on his deathbed. And he talks about the place of erotic love in his life and the way he's found that it could kind of open up portals of mysterious knowledge. He talks about food and his pleasure in the simplicity of food rather than in sumptuous Roman feasts. Mostly what he talks about is the fact that a life is something that is subjective and that is not the same thing as an official history, that you have a personal chronology, you have a personal geography, that the people who meant the most to you could be somebody you ran into in a hall for 5 minutes, not the person you worked with for 40 years. And I think it's just an amazingly lyrical chapter that really tries to embody the difference between sort of the daily grind that we all live through and the bits of human existence that are the most precious to us.
I think that's perfect. And I can tell it's your favorite because you had that entire poem memorized, and it's just so passionate for you. So thank you so much for sharing that for us and introducing us to Memoirs of Hadrian.
It was a pleasure to speak to you.